Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's Inside the Eagles. We're excited to be back with you, and we're excited that the Eagles getting ready for a primetime game on Sunday night against those Dallas Cowboys. We've got a great show for you. First, we're going to go into the locker room. The Eagles, a lot of success on the field. A lot of that's because they've bonded so well off the field, and a lot of that is a faith-based bond that we'll explore. We also want to go inside the locker room for our players-only segment, some fun and games with the guys. But first, let's look back at the first nine games of this season. Some memorable moments. It's our Sounds of the Week presented by Bose. Nothing comes between you and your music.
I think I'm mic'd up. They never told me again, but I'm pretty sure I am.
Through the micings of several players, we've noticed some commonalities among the group. First, the player will never give warnings to other players that he's mic'd up.
Hey, 2-3. I'm mic'd up. So you know, I'm mic'd up.
Second, you never know what you'll catch on film.
Hold on.
Hey, somebody do a chicken tender and hit Brandon.
Hey.
Somebody do a chicken tender and hit Brandon in the head.
I told him he should have picked it up and bit it.
It's a senior day. Old guys eat for free. Selleck, got a few targets. Long break. My legs just feel heavy from, like, being out. You don't know what that's like, though.
I do.
I know, but, like, you know, you were born in, like, 1997.
That was fast. NASCAR. Getting y'all a job with NASCAR. I'm a robot company. Get y'all a job.
Third, there will be some interaction with players on the opposing team.
Face mask.
Stop crying, Larry. Larry, quit begging.
Hey, George, slide that way. Why not? I'm gonna get a sack anyway. Second and four.
You better take your points. You better take your points, I'm telling you.
Come on, Larry. Tell him to throw that over here, Larry. Hey. Yeah. Hey, that's what happened when you're a Hall of Famer, huh? Hey, when you're a Hall of Famer, that's what happened? I ain't never seen nothing like it, dog. The weapons are on both knees, like on one knee, tying the shoes, bro.
Hey, A5, you getting nothing. You getting nothing.
Fourth, when the game is on the line, you'll get some great reactions.
This guy's a superhero if he makes this. Come on, Elliot. Come on, Big Four.
Finally, players enjoy showing off their talents.
Introduce myself. My name is Ho. Hey, H to the OV.
Hey, who's going? Hold on. Come on, Bo. Bo, that's your song? Huh?
Somebody's watching me.
Tricks on me.
I always feel like
I got both of them. I can sing.
I hear you over there.
I know.
Sure. Yeah,
I've been trying to get you on the track, bro.
I'm ready.
All I need is that down south boy, that little introduction.
I'm ready.
You know what I mean?
If it gets to a 40-point game, I'll dance a little bit.
There is nothing more diverse than an NFL locker room, a collection of personalities and belief all thrown together. The Eagles have found camaraderie in part through the faith that they share off the field. Let's take a look.
A journey through faith can be very personal. It leads to deep introspection. Through this reflection, one can take a step back and discover their path. The end of the trail may lead to a common goal, but the beginning of the pilgrimage is a step of solitude.
I went to Bible study, I went to church, you know, often growing up, but it wasn't until I was in my last year of college where I realized I was kind of living off of everyone else's salvation. Like, I wasn't really finding out things for my own. I wasn't diving into the Word or exploring that the way I explored everything else around me. So that's when I kind of realized that I was kind of living the wrong way.
Grew up going to church, got confirmed in a Lutheran church, but I never really knew exactly what I believed or why. I remember just having some college mentors, some former teammates kind of just help walking me through the Word. You know, I ended up reading the whole New Testament of the Bible in the first 3 months of my freshman semester, and it just became real to me.
You know, for me, you know, I was kind of on this downward spiral because the things that I was trying to place in my life to give me satisfaction would last for a little bit and then they fade away. And that was my sophomore year in high school. I was really at a crossroads at that point and had to make a decision on where I was going. And that's when I gave my life to Christ, and really he supplied that satisfaction and that joy for me.
When their separate journeys led them to the NFL and the Philadelphia Eagles, they sought an outlet to come together and created a way to share their faith.
Chapel for us here is that in the NFL, since our Sundays are taken up, you can't go to church. So you had the opportunity to attend chapel, which is like a small church service, and we're able to get our word in.
Every Monday night, we have a couples Bible study. We have a Thursday night team Bible study, and then Saturday nights, we actually get together the night before the game and just kind of pray, talk through the word, what guys have been reading, what they're struggling with, and just kind of keep it real with each other. To have that here in an NFL facility like this, it's really special.
From baptisms to sharing their faith in the community, they've grown together and challenged each other to be better, not only as teammates, but more importantly, as men.
I think the biggest thing that we're always challenging each other with is just to not lose sight of the bigger picture. I think wins, losses, highs, lows, everything that comes with this game, it's so easy to take your mind and your eyes off of the ultimate prize, and that's living for the Lord.
As men, you tend to be very sheltered. If I'm going through some things, I may not express that to the next man. I mean, you can kind of expose your weaknesses and things you want to work on, whether it's in your relationship or your marriage or your family, whatever it may be. When you're able to talk about it amongst your brothers, amongst your family, it helps you grow. And when you realize that, you know, you can apply biblical principles to it, it helps us all grow.
We want to be united. You know, we want to support each other. We want to support each other in our lives, you know, through the difficulties of, you know, off the field, you know, as well as on the field. And so I think it's really kind of something to where, you know, we're all just kind of binding together to kind of keep each other, you know, sharpened and keep pushing forward.
While religion can be a divisive topic of conversation, this is not something that these players let divide the locker room.
We're all grown men, so we have certain type of conversations where, you know, you can respect it. I mean, if there's someone that believes in something else, you don't just throw the Bible at them or argue with them about what their beliefs are, whether they're Muslim or whatever. That's what they believe in, and they have the right to believe in that. But you can share what you know. I think it's important not to look down on other religions as well. Because as men, we all have challenges. It's nothing different than other men outside of this locker room. So when you can use somebody like Carson or Ertz, like, these guys are able to talk to guys who are going through some things and just introduce them. They're not throwing a Bible at people. I think they're conscious of that as well.
Some people get turned off when you want to talk about religion and spiritual things, and you just always have to have the right touch with it. You know, I'm going to be genuine. I'm going to be authentic with believers, non-believers. It doesn't matter. I'm going to love on them. I'm going to treat them all the same. I'm going to respect them. And at the same time, as a leader of the football team, I'm going to lead everybody the same too. And it kind of makes it open. You know, I think guys are willing to talk when you don't have this self-righteous attitude about you. You're just open to talk about spiritual things, talk about religion, talk about real life issues with believers, non-believers, and everybody in between. When you have that mutual respect for your teammates and really everybody, it just makes it a healthier environment.
When men come together in a common goal, their combined efforts exceed what each man can do individually. And that standard is not just talking about their faith, but living it. They strive to give back to the community as well.
I feel like it's a part of my purpose. Like, if you know all the things I've been through, like, I probably shouldn't be sitting here in front of you. And for me, I think it's important that other kids know, like, go out, you know, and show people that, you know, he's real. And talk to him about it. Because when I was there, like, you couldn't tell me, like, man, like, if God's real, why is all of this happening to me? If he loves you so much, why are we in this situation? That's a real struggle for a lot of people. And, you know, when you're young and you're growing your faith and you're going to church because that's what your mom told you to do, and that's kind of how I was living, so I can relate to him. So when I could talk to him, like, hey, man, this is just a storm. This is just a trial. It's the first of many. But just to continue to stay steadfast, which is something that's said a billion times in the Bible, which kind of hit home with me. That's what I try to do. I'm not perfect. Never going to be perfect, actually. But it's something that I try to grow and try to share with the youth as well, you know, when I had that opportunity.
I started a foundation this offseason called the AO1 Foundation, and it stands for Audience of One, to use my platform to raise awareness for things I'm passionate about. The biggest thing is just overseas, you know, going on that mission trip to Haiti and just seeing third world countries and just seeing all the need there. We were only there for a couple days. You know, you go down there, everyone goes on mission trips thinking they're going to go change the culture, change the country, really impact the people there. And you do get that opportunity, but I think everyone generally leaves, and I know this is true for me, with a new perspective on their own life. You know, I think we saw firsthand how people are living in a third world country. You know, they're bathing in sewage water. There's trash lining the streets. You know, that's just like normal living for them. But at the same time, they have real joy. They do life together. They have relationships. As we in America have so much stuff, so many material things, and you sit and wonder, do we really have real joy? So that's one of the biggest emphasis of the foundation. Another one is service dogs in the Philadelphia area. I'm very passionate about animals, about dogs. I have two myself. I know how much they mean to me. But I've seen firsthand how service dogs can ultimately change people's lives. That's really cool and something I'm passionate about. And then the last thing, to help provide those opportunities, those hunting opportunities for kids that are sick, cancer patients, wounded vets, just different opportunities that they maybe would never receive or get the opportunity to do. Just trying to help make their lives better, give them a sense of joy. And those are all kind of random things, but they're things I'm passionate about. And so starting the foundation, to me, has been one of the most fulfilling things so far, and it's really just getting started.
As the Eagles get ready to beat Dallas on Sunday night, time now to go into the locker room. It's players only.
That's right, Dave. We are here live today in the Players Lounge. We have defense versus offense. Jalen Mills versus Carson Wentz. And we're going to change it up this week. We've got a special surprise for you. Yeah, that's right. We're going to play the Whisper Game. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to have one contestant put the headphones on, and we're going to play the music really loud. As a matter of fact, Eric Church is queued up right here. Jalen's
good stuff.
Favorite artist, Eric Church.
Yeah.
While he's listening to the loud music, I have 10 cards here. I'm going to whisper one of the names. It's either going to be a player on our team or a football term. They'll each get 5 attempts. The person with the most correct will be declared this week's winner. So without further ado, Jalen Mills from LSU is up first. Number one.
Josh. Oh, touchdown.
Touchdown. Yeah, okay. Ding, 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 ding. One for one. All right, here we go.
You're going to be the same ones.
Field goal.
Field goal.
Man,
ding,
go,
ding, 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 ding. 2 for 2.
My music is playing.
The pride of Baton Rouge. Well, he's not from Baton Rouge, but one of my favorites.
Fletcher Cox.
Fletcher Cox is right. Number 4.
Bo Allen
is correct. This is quite easy. Number 5.
Quarterback.
Hey,
let's go, man. Let's go.
LSU.
Let's go.
Next up, Carson Wentz. Football term.
I got nothing. Yes. It's kind of like Nick Foles, but I don't think so.
Yes,
well, I already lost.
Where's the, that's all right. We're going to keep going just for the fun of it. Mm.
Referee.
Referee. There you go. There you go. 1-2.
Looks like over the top.
Yeah, it was close. We'll give it to him. Overtime.
Overtime.
I don't either. All right, we'll try it.
Big V.
Big V is right. We got two. And the last one.
LeGarrette Blount.
So since Carson is a quarterback, we were going to give him another attempt. He only got three right, correct? Three? So we're going to give him two more chances to see if he can tie. All right, ready? This is going to be an easy one.
The punter guy.
Hey, the punter guy! It was Donnie Jones, and he got it right. All right, one more. One more. Football term.
Pass
interference.
Yes! It.
Guys, thank you for being such good sports. Carson, I'm sorry. I know I gave you the little bonus at the end there, but this week's winner, former LSU Tiger, Jalen Mills.
I appreciate it.
Until next time.
This is, of course, Beat the Cowboys week, so why not? We take a look back at the rivalry in one specific game when the Eagles went after Troy Aikman and they got him. When we return to Inside the Eagles, Merrill Reese and Mike Quick take a look back at a great game in this rivalry.
Hi, everyone. I'm Merrill Reese, and welcome to Old School All 22. You know, when you go back to 1989 and you talk about the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys, I'll bet almost every one of you focuses on that famous Thanksgiving Day bouncy ball with the hit on Luis Zendejas. But what I remember even to a greater extent was the following game in December when the Birds and the Boys met on a snowy, cold, cold day, and there were a lot of emotions flying, Mike Quick.
Well, whenever you had a Buddy Ryan defense, you were going to have a lot of emotion. You were going to have a lot of big hits. And this was a day where the Eagles defense really took apart the Cowboys. That was a game and a defense that really stands out in the minds of Eagles fans.
Ahead by a score of 14-0 after two Chris Carter touchdowns, the Eagles defense took the field on 3rd and 7 and tried to get the ball back to Randall Cunningham and the explosive Eagles offense. Defensive coordinator Jeff Fisher dialed up an exotic pressure scheme that sent both slot corners at the quarterback. And Dallas was not ready for it. You have Eric Everett coming off the left, and he's left completely unblocked. Delivers a huge hit on quarterback Troy Aikman, and is forcing a Dallas punt. The Eagles' defense put a beating on the Cowboys that afternoon, finishing with a 10-point win to help earn a trip to the playoffs.
It's interesting to see a hit like that, because one of Buddy Ryan's goals going into every game was take out the opposing quarterback.
And it's funny that you mentioned that, because that was one of Buddy's mantras to his defense. We want to find out who their backup quarterback is today. So you see that corner blitz and different things that Buddy Ryan would do. It was an attempt to find out who the backup quarterback was that day.
Inside the Eagles is brought to you by McDonald's. I'm loving it. And by AAA, the right call for every drive. Visit AAA.com today. Thank you so much for all of your questions this season. We are loving them, and now we've got another one for you. It's time for Ask an Eagle, presented by Geico.
At Gabriel Sinclair asks, who was your favorite player growing up? My favorite player growing up was Derrick Brooks.
That'll do it for Inside the Eagles tonight. Reminder, Sunday night, the Eagles at the Cowboys, a primetime game with so much at stake. Thanks so much for joining us. We're back next week. We'll see you then. In the meantime, have yourselves a great Eagles night.